I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast. This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 419. In a world where every day is Taco Tuesday.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey ho, how does it go?
It goes fine. It's going. It's not going, so...
Okay, as long as it's not going and not going in reverse, that sounds like a win to me.
I'm gonna go with that, so yeah, it's going. And that's good. So you had a good week?
Yeah, totally did. You?
I had a very good week. I mean, I got some gaming in. I got some more Bond movies in. I got some K-dramas watched. I got anime watched. I feel refreshed after my break from my day job because of the holidays and stuff. So, yeah, I feel pretty good.
I went back to work.
Yeah, you had a mad long time off.
I did. 13 days is nice.
Yeah. Especially when you're getting paid.
Yep.
That's all good.
In the hood.
That's what's up. It's a good time. I did not have 13 days off. But that's okay. I did have a couple. And they were really good. And what's really nice is I got a bunch of really nice things for Christmas. And I'm going to be able to get some more nice things for post-Christmas. I will say that if you've been following me on social, you know that I've podcrashed the Turbo Notes podcast for a couple of weeks now. And I've actually been having a ball doing that. And after our last...
The year of Ninja Sister podcrashing.
Yeah, I'm podcrashing like crazy.
How many years in the making is this?
I mean, it's like 8 years in the making. But, you know, they say that fine things age with time. So
that's the truth.
This is just the time. And now it's my time.
It's your time to shine.
It's my time, 2015.
Treat yourself, 2015.
Yeah. But basically, I've just been showing up on a bunch of friends' podcasts, and I'm having a blast. So if you have a podcast and, you know, you want another voice, just holler at me. And schedule permitting, I'll join. But I've been having a blast on the Turbo Nerds. And as you guys well know...
Are you in fact a Turbo Nerd?
Well, I mean, I'm not a Turbo Nerd, but I am definitely like a nerd. So, I would like to think that I am definitely an above average nerd.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not a casual nerd. There's nothing casual about my nerdery.
No, not at all, actually.
Between... the video games that we are surrounded by, the systems, my DJ equipment, and still yet the box of Cassandra Cain entire series run of comics that are on my floor over there, and a iMac to be retired. No, yeah, I'm a nerd.
You're
not
very
casual.
Much a nerd. No,
I have a They Might Be Giants foam finger on display.
Okay, yeah, you.
I also have my.
You are what make nerd. Nerd make you.
No, seriously. Like, my mantle is covered right now in both video games...
Medications.
Well,
an ace bandage for your gaming rage.
I was looking at that. That was from my incident where I busted my thumb. It's all good now. Everybody's all okay. But I was mostly concerned with, like, my top rack. I wasn't even going with the second rack on my mantle. But I've got a Viva Pinata from a press kit that I got.
Pinata.
When that game came out. And I've never broken it because I don't want to. And it's a Horstachio pinata that's in there. I have Risk. All wooden version of Risk, by the way.
Wow. You got wood.
I got wood. It's risky. I have...
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Then there's also my metal case, and that metal case is a little...
That's your poker chips, right?
No. That...
is your original Game Boy.
Correct. My original Game Boy.
So you have OG. You have a unicorn up there.
No, that is...
I see a horn. It is a unicorn.
It's a My Little Pony.
Is it an alicorn?
It's... I think it is an alicorn. And... but the other thing that's going on in that case is not only is my OG original Game Boy in there, that still works, by the way, and has a copy of Tetris and Paperboy for the Game Boy, but I also have my SNES special version of the Game Boy Advance in there that can also play those Game Boy games up in there. So I've got those going on. Then I have my alicorn, and then I have my Grand Theft Auto hat. Collector's Edition hat. Yeah. And that's just the top level of my mantle. And, yes, I'm not going to go through my second level, but it's also covered in nerdery. The only thing I will point out is that there are some new additions to that collection.
I see that.
Which is primarily Disney Infinity
figures. You have Kid Icarus, and you have, is it Marth?
No, I have Pit and Marth.
Okay.
So I have, in fact... started collecting amiibos, and it is directly a result from my pod crashing on the Turbo Nerds. So we've had a couple of conversations, one of which was about...
Do you even know where Marth is from?
I don't even remember where Marth is from. I forget which game.
Crap.
Yeah, you're calling me out.
No, because I know it. I know it. And later on the show, I'll be like, blah, 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 blah.
It'll come back to you. But... we had a really great conversation about Nintendo, and we were talking about NFTs in general and whether or not they were a passing fad or something that was here to stay. I am of the mind that it is here to stay, and part of that, I said, was because of the way that Nintendo has elected to use amiibos. And we got into this great conversation, and someone was like, all right, so how many do you have? And I'm like, well, I don't have any. And they're like, what? And I was like, well, here's the deal. I don't have a big group of people to play Smash Brothers with, and Smash Brothers was the introduction game for amiibos, so there wasn't anything really pushing me to jump on the bandwagon. It wasn't until the collectability thing started coming into play and Nintendo started stopping runs of amiibos to basically create a massive demand for these things
that I started
going, hey, maybe I ought to pay this some more attention. Now, part of the reason that I, on the show, with the group on Turbo Nerds, said that I thought NFC was something that was going to be here to stay, not that it was going to become a big piece of mainstream gaming, but it was more than just a fad, is in the way that it's being implemented and that I see more developers and hopefully more IPs using them is... the way that Nintendo has rolled them out, in which they're not just restricted to one game. You know, that's one thing that I think that Disney has kind of missed the boat on, and also Activision with their Skylanders property, is that you can only use these figures on a custom base with one game. So you can't use Disney Infinity figures outside of Disney Infinity. There's no cross-play into other games.
But there is with amiibos?
Yes, amiibos. And what is really interesting is that on the packaging, it even tells you to look at a game pack and see if it says that it is, you know, works with amiibos. There are certain amiibos that only will work with certain games for sure. They're going to be doing a run that's going to work, for instance, with Mario Kart. So they're going to be designed different. They're going to be a little bit shorter. They're all going to have race caps on, I believe. So you can tell that one from the other one.
But they're driving amiibos and not...
correct.
Like the fighting ones.
Right. Those amiibos will work with the racing game. But the packets tell you, and some guy, I can't remember what his Twitter handle is, created an infographic that outlined which amiibo series... worked with what games.
Okay.
So it's a really nice little lineup of, like, the Phase 1 amiibos will work with this game, and this game as we know of right now. This series is only going to work with this game and this game. This series will work with this game and this game, both on the Wii system as well as the 3DS. So it's not just a one and done. You know, whereas Disney is definitely, the Infinity characters are one and done. Until Disney Infinity 3.0 comes out, you'll still be able to use all of your figures with the game in some capacity, but it's always going to be you're using these figures in Disney Infinity. It's not like you're going to be able to use a Disney Infinity character in, say, a Grand Theft Auto game.
Right. That'd be kind of odd.
Like, that
Grand Theft Mario. It's a meme. Mario.
I would play that. I would play that. But that's not gonna happen.
Hey Luigi, I'm reloading!
Whereas it's very possible that, you know, games coming out on the Wii U will have amiibo support. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Kingdom Hearts, if it's on the platform, will have amiibo support.
That would be so fucking cool. You know? I'd collect those.
And so I think that in thinking forward like that, you've now created an ecosphere that can grow and evolve and isn't just the flash in the pan fad.
Right.
You know? And so I don't think NFC is going away, but I do see a lot of potential, especially in the younger gamer and kids realm, for sure. Like, I can see Sesame Street coming out with a game and having a series of Sesame Street NFCs because there's so many characters there and kids can play with the figures outside of the game and also play with the figures inside of the game. It really does create much more of a interactive gameplay and something that goes from, which I think is one of the main concerns of parents who have their kids game, of having something that is in the real world as opposed to something that is a virtual reality. And so I think it's a nice little bridge, and it's a very safe place. So I think that Nintendo's done a really fantastic job in figuring out these characters. I think that they are brilliant marketers in stopping runs early to really make characters more of a hot, sought-after item. So that's not just wasting space on shelves. I think that retailers appreciate it because, like, you walk into any Best Buy right now and you go to the NFC section, which basically the row right now, up until Smash Brothers came out, was half Skylanders stuff and half Disney Infinity. And there are just tons and tons of rows of characters. They're never depleted. They're never out. And that's a lot of space to be taking up and not moving things constantly.
I agree.
By being smart and limiting runs, you're limiting a character's availability to just sit on a shelf and be perceived to not be an interesting or well-selling character. You take those characters that you think aren't going to go really well,
playing, and then you beat people's asses with them.
Well, just from a marketing perspective, okay, a lot of people were joking about the villager character, which is the character from Animal Crossing.
I remember.
When Nintendo first announced Amiibos. And were like, yeah, nobody's going to pick that up. What the hell is a fucking villager? And so Nintendo went, okay, well, guess what? There's only going to be this many villagers available. And when they're gone, they're gone. We're not going to do another run. And then it became the most sought-after fucking
Amiibo
figure. I mean, there were people that were buying these things at $12 a pop and selling them legit on, like, Amazon reseller and eBay for upwards of $80, $90,
$100. Fuck no, not
like,
me.
If you go to eBay right now and look for a villager, you're going to see one listed for anywhere between $60 and $110.
Fuck.
Because Nintendo's not going to run them again.
That's crazy.
You know, the same thing with the trainer, which is the training figure from Wii Fit.
Yep.
They did the same thing. Small limited run. Turned off the run. Became a huge, huge sought-after figure. Same thing with Marth. Same thing with Pit. I actually wound up lucking out. I found them in a mom-and-pop place in Salem. But even at that, Pit cost me $20. And Marth, I ended up getting on Amazon. And Marth cost me $25.
I thought you got them from your friends over at Turbo Blah Blah Blah.
No. No, no. The Terminode's friends are hooking me up with original Luigi and
the planking one?
Yep. And Peach.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have those. So I've started my collections with a couple of rares that I was able to find affordably, but even the Marth that I found that I got on Amazon was an import Marth.
Oh.
Couldn't find a US Marth for under $80. Like, it's ridiculous. It's bank. So I'll tell people right now, I have no problems, because we talked about this too a little bit, with people collecting, especially in the interest of, you know, getting a couple characters to have one to keep to play with for themselves.
And then one to sell.
Or for collecting purpose, you know, or even just display. Because they are really great quality characters. And I would say that they're definitely as detailed, if not a little bit more in some aspects, to the Disney figures. So I can definitely see wanting to put these guys on display, for sure. But the beautiful thing about the characters is that I think that it introduces a whole lot of characters and games to a much younger generation, because, you know, the games are really designed not necessarily for the hardcore, for the you and I, but really for kids to get into. And I think that this is a great way to keep their interest and to pique their curiosity. And that's really what I like about the NFC model. So I'm hopeful that some other properties pick this up and run with it. Like, I can definitely see Sesame Street doing something and being successful with NFC on a game across platforms. But even if it's just on the Wii in the Amiibo form, I think that that would work really well. I think that there are some other properties, you know, like the My Little Pony one. Like,
I'm surprised.
That's an entire additional revenue stream that Hasbro could be working on and making even more bank. Because, yeah, I would be all over that in a hot fucking second. So I don't think NFC is going away. I don't think that it's a flash in the pan fad.
You mean like 3D TVs?
Correct. But I do think that it could have some really interesting implications on gaming. So I'm really curious to see where it goes. You know, I have a feeling that there's probably going to be somebody else that's going to have something NFC-based at E3. I don't know who it is, but I just got a feeling, because Nintendo is making bank off of these things. You know.
Oh, Square Enix should get on that so that they can recoup some of their losses.
Think about it. Think about a Final Fantasy game where you have NFCs available of any and every character that's ever appeared in a Final Fantasy game.
And Vivi.
Okay.
I like trains.
All right. I mean, like, think about that. Wouldn't you be interested in that?
I would get Sephiroth. I would get Tifa. I would get Yuna. Not from Final Fantasy X-2. Fuck that bitch. I would get Riku from 10, not 10-2, because she has a thong and a super mini skirt. And I would get the Thornberry, because who doesn't want a fucking Thornberry?
I mean, who doesn't?
Do you really? Do you know
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
While I don't play a ton of
RPGs. I know that you don't play a lot of RPGs, so I didn't know if you knew.
No. The last Final Fantasy game that I played was 7.
Okay. Well, at least you ended on a high note.
I did. And basically, it's because and it took me forever to finish that fucking game. But I got to the end of it, and I was like, it's never going to get any better than this. And I didn't fuck with any other Final Fantasy game.
10 wasn't bad, and I feel like 12 got overlooked so bad. Like, 12 had a lot of promise. I like what they did with the combat system, and the leveling up was completely different. And, like, it hurts me deeply that people were like, no. And then 13 came out, and I don't even get me started.
But how do you feel about 15? Some of the things that I've seen about 15...
Well, I mean, remember, I was on board for 15 when it was still called
13-3?
No. Because it was called Project Agnes, the Agnes Philosophy. They were showing it in real time, like, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, maybe nearly three. And I remember I was like,
Ninja. Wasn't it Agnes?
Agnes something. And, like, they showed walking through this area and then watching these people disintegrate. And that when they zoomed in, they were all these little bugs that were peeling away. It was super cool. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, and here's our new Final Fantasy game. And sure fucking enough, here it is.
So, like, the tech demo and, like, the walkthrough that they did a couple of weeks ago looked really impressive. I mean, how open and vast of a world it is.
I'm slightly concerned, however, because Square Enix has had a great format of keeping you linear up until a point and then, boom, opening the world. I mean, like, currently right now, in terms of RPGs, I've finally gotten back into Dragon Age Inquisition.
The Inquisition. What a show. Go ahead.
And everyone who I know is playing it on different consoles than me are all madly in love with it and all this stuff. And, I mean, I'm a big Dragon Age fan. We know this. I've talked about them up and down for years. I'm a big BioWare fan. But I had a hard time getting into this game because, literally, even though I know, as a fan, I wanted them to expand on the world, they listened to me, and now I realize that maybe what I think expanding the world is different from what they actually did.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on. Like, the maps between all the different worlds are very Far Cry-esque. Like, it's just this big empty space that they're like, figure stuff out. You can walk anywhere. Oh, yeah, there's a shit powerful dragon over there. You can't kill it right now. You did. It's kind of got
that's what happens when you wander off into the world.
It's kind of got a Dark Souls vibe.
You can't beat every dragon that you come
up on. Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Not at level 11,
you can't do these things, Nemo.
I watched learning from you, Dad. Anyway, And while Square, I know, and I mean, and Square Enix has played with the concept of expanding their world through, and I hate to say this, Final Fantasy 13 2, with the time paradoxes and stuff. Like, talk about jumping time. Woo! So, I mean, do I applaud them for their innovation? Absolutely. I worry that they'll get ahead of themselves, very much like in Final Fantasy 13 2, and people will jump on the bandwagon because they want to believe that Square Enix, you know, has their shit together, and then we're going to get Final Fantasy 13 5X, and we're all going to be like, we're going to want to shoot ourselves in the brain and, like, take a spoon and fork our eyeballs out. And yes, I said spoon to fork. That's how fucked up it's going to be. And I worry about it because I can feel myself going into my imaginary purse with money and giving them money for it, and that terrifies me as a consumer.
But why are you terrified? You know you're gonna do it.
I'm gonna do.
You know you're gonna do it.
It's like little baby panda at age 4 has her hand by a fire. Don't ask me how baby panda got near it. And in her mind, that is still, it's like formulating like that whale from the Hitchhiker's Guide that's becoming more and more aware of the dangers of falling through the air.
Uh-huh.
Which is a terrifying passage in the book if you've never read it. I reread it and I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna, and you know. Existence and then non-existence. And in my scenario, baby panda, her brain is developing a lot faster than her 4-year-old body, and she realized she's about to do something really stupid by putting her hand in this fire, but even though she's aware of it, it doesn't stop the action from happening. So, like, here we go. You're gonna burn me again, Square Enix. Oh, the flame, the flame! The existence and the non-existence, because my money will exist and then it will not exist.
No, it'll exist, it just won't be your money anymore. Yeah. It'll be somebody else's money.
Yeah.
Transfer.
Flash paper, it's gone! Voila! But I mean, I'm on board, because like I said, I saw the tech demo and I saw what they were showing us, and if the game really truly looks like that, then if the story's good, because you gotta have a good story, it can't always look just pretty, we've been burned, we know. We've gone out with that hot person who was as dumb as rocks, and we're
Unity,
like, ah.
Unity looked pretty.
It did.
And it still does.
It will always, forever look pretty.
In your mind. But
your muscle memory is going to be like,
Yeah, I finally got to this one mission, and I couldn't get through, and I was like, fuck this shit. Have you ever known me to not finish an Assassin's Game?
No.
Other than one?
Well,
which
that
I ultimately
terrible.
Went back and finished,
though? It was terrible.
Yeah. No, not finishing Unity.
I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah.
I have no intentions of trying to complete the maps either, because, you know, that's usually my thing. After you play it and I hear all the awesome things, then I go in and just complete maps. Fuck that noise.
Yeah, no.
I ain't completing no map. I got enough maps
so
in DOAI.
So, I'm hopeful.
DAI.
I'm hopeful that Victory, which is the next one, which they've already announced... and shown a teaser.
Because Ubisoft is a game-making machine!
Because Ubi decided, after the success that they had with 1, that they were really going to create a massive franchise. And that's the plan that they laid out. And so, they've been working on Assassin's game in tandem since then. So, every year that you know that there's an Assassin's game
they've
out,
already been working
there are
on it.
Two more that you should understand.
Assassin's Creed Cooking Mama.
That they
Assassin's
are working
Creed,
on.
Assassin's Creed, Luigi's Mansion. Assassin's Creed, Postal Takeover.
You know, they're happening. So, they were working.
Assassin's Creed Les Miserables.
So they've been working on Rogue and Liberation. Unity and
Liberation.
I'm talking about these games are all after Liberation.
Oh.
Rogue is the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 game that came out at the same time as Unity, because Unity was only next gen.
Now, wait, but is Rogue essentially Unity for that console, or is it totally different game?
Different game.
So then what the fuck?
Yeah.
Rogue's what the fuck, game. Ubisoft?
Rogue, if I remember correctly, and internet, I know you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it's more on the Kenway side,
I guess,
of history, so it's more what happened between Black Flag and Unity.
I saw an honest trailer for Black Flag, which made me almost think about wanting to touch the game, only because
you haven't
they
done Black Flag?
No.
Oh shit, I can fix that.
I know you could, but don't yet. Because like I said, the honest trailer made me interested in maybe possibly touching it, only because apparently the main character you play in that has all these skill sets of an assassin, yet he's never been fucking trained.
Correct. Yeah, he's never trained as an assassin.
And now they showed a cutscene with this person, like, he's got the sight, or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, the guy with the tribal's like, and I'm just like, yep. Because he's a fucking pirate who just wants to get hammered and drunk.
Well, he's never trained in the game, basically.
So you just develop these awesome skills? Are you, like, fucking Serenity from Serenity?
He basically was born with them, as it turned out.
Maybe it's Maybelline. He's a private... Maybe it's Maybelline.
It might have been Maybelline. I mean, it is
Maybe
pirates.
He's born with it.
I mean, it is pirates. Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
But, like, mostly, it's
mostly
pretty...
Maybelline. I'm not gonna lie, it's mostly Maybelline.
So, I mean, he does have some killer guyliner. I'm not even gonna lie.
No, like, legit. He does.
I was like, whoa... Calm down. Johnny Depp wants his eyeliner back.
Yeah, he does. He wants it back bad. It's not a bad Assassin's game at all. And the whole franchise. And I think that Unity was just a little bit ambitious for what they wanted to do. Having the campaign on a second screen, the multiplayer, the way they went about a multiplayer, the things that you could only unlock through going through and tying things up to your Uplay account when they said that they were getting rid of Uplay. It's just a lot of interconnected things that didn't need to be interconnected that unfortunately did not work well for quite some time. But that happens. You know, I think that one thing that I noticed, and we've even talked about to a degree, but we've never really talked about it as a direct thing, is that it feels like a lot of games were rushed to be ready for holiday.
Yep.
Coming out of E3.
I agree.
And in the rush to be the best on the new consoles.
They weren't the best. The best they ever were.
They weren't the best that they could have been. And I think that's why you've seen a bunch of games, developers recently say, hey, you know what? We're pushing back launch dates. Like Witcher.
Yep.
And The Order, which had its date pushed back a couple of times, I think, to get it right. And I really respect game devs doing that, and I really hope that that continues. If you know your game's not right, take more time. You know, the most recent one I can think of, really, that kind of set that bar was Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, I was going to say, in my mind, I just envisioned you looking at, like, a dream vision, vision of, like, Ken Levine, and, like, Sarah McLachlan in the background, I will remember you, out, sha-na-na-na-na. You know, obviously better, because I can't, I'm not Sarah McLachlan, I don't sing well, anyway, and stuff.
I love Ken Levine, and I'm really interested in seeing what his little team is going to come up with and work on after shuttering Irrational to focus on some key projects. I really kind of want to see what those turn out to be. But I do think that it was a smart thing for Irrational to do, because I don't care who you are, if you've played Bioshock Infinite, you can't tell me that it's not a great game. Is a very interesting story, is a very interesting mechanic. It will have you guessing. It will have you coming up with your own theories as to how
things happen.
You'll laugh,
you'll cry, you'll laugh so hard that you'll kind of fart, but then not say anything about it, but then people are going to smell it, and then you have to come clean, but you kind of don't because you blame that one person who always farts when you go out, Stephanie.
Sorry.
Nothing like that at all, but...
But...
I do think that anytime you go into something that's entertaining or meant to be entertaining, and it does, and it makes you think, and you get wrapped up in trying to either figure it out or you want more, leaves you wanting more, then that's a great experience. Whether that's a video game, a book, an article that you've read on the web, or a comic strip, you know, even a TV show, or hopefully even a podcast. If it leaves you wanting more and starting a conversation, then it's done its job and it's done it well. And Infinite has done that. And there are a bunch of other games that have done that as well. Like Beyond Good and Evil. It's been forever and a fucking day and there are still people clamoring about it.
And then what about the last one, The Last Guardian? People are still... people will trudge the deserts waiting for that Oasis.
It's like people who didn't give up on the Duke Nukem game.
It's okay. Like not giving up on you.
Not giving up on Last Guardian. Sony has said that they haven't given up on Last Guardian. You better fucking have something.
You can't
something.
Give me a kitty dragon and then not expect me to want to play with the kitty dragon.
You can't line me up and be like, okay, so if you liked Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, which every gamer who had a PlayStation was like, yes, yes I did, yes I did, yes I did. Go, well, we're working on something else.
I didn't play Shadow of the Colossus, but I played Ico.
Shadow was so amazing.
I know, you're not the only person to tell me.
Oh, for the love of Jesus. Didn't they remaster that for the PlayStation 3?
They did.
They didn't remaster it for the 4, though.
No.
It's not, and I'm pretty sure that it's not on PlayStation Now, which did launch.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hey, gaming news. Let me share some for you. PlayStation Now launched.
Nice.
Yeah.
So wait, PS. Last so week. PlayStation TV?
PlayStation TV.
Did that happen yet?
I think. I don't know. Okay. I didn't want to get that. But no, PlayStation Now, I know, launched, and that's the go back and play for pay some old PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, it like allows you to like rent.
Correct.
Games for a certain amount of time.
Correct.
But some of the figures are a little wonky.
Well, they're not wonky. It's just, it's not a flat, okay, these games from this era cost this much, newer games cost this much. It all is brokered between what the publisher wants and what's allowed on the platform. So there are, like, some things that you can rent for a month for one price, like, let's say $9.99.
Only Musha one and two for 4 days for $6. But if I want to play Only Musha 3 that has Renault in it,
yeah, Jean Renault,
it's like $16 for like three hours.
The scale is all over the place.
And I'm like, really? It's Only Musha 3. Come on.
Yeah.
So
it's not a flat scale. I think that
I want to play Bobble Bobble. Suck my dick. I don't even know how to give you that transaction.
I don't even know how to deal with that statement. I can't just even say, deal with your just statement.
Oh, you want to play Sonic?
No, I don't.
Take your credit card and swipe it down your vag.
What? Oh, my God.
They want you to do the weirdest thing. I'm sorry.
I can't.
Kiss it now. It's like, oh, you want to play this game? Turn around 3 times and bark like a dog. Like, some of these requirements are a little... So they're a little reaching, is just what I'm saying. Some of these games.
Well, you took a really long, weird way to get there.
Of course, because that's what I do.
Ew.
Boop, boop.
Grody.
Yep. Up, access denied. No shit, it's your vagina.
Oh, can you not say that word?
Vagina. Stop. Vagina.
Okay, I'm so sorry. She said Vegeta. Anyway.
Carrot cake.
PlayStation Now has launched.
Yay! It launched now.
No, then. Not now.
PlayStation then?
Oh, no, that's PlayStation bad. Now launched then. Now we're talking about PlayStation launching then.
Oh. So we're talking about that now.
Yes.
To PlayStation now.
We're talking about PlayStation now. Now.
Now. Not then.
Not then.
Now. Now.
Now. Now. Now.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Perfectly. And I've only done, like, a couple of cursory passes on there. There are a couple of good games in there that'd be
worth
playing.
And when you mean cursory passes, do you mean you took your mouse and you cursored over it, but then you didn't click it because you knew better?
No.
You're like, do I buy it? No.
No.
Do I buy it? No.
No.
Do I buy... Yes.
No, by cursory, I meant I just kind of, like, glossed over it, went through
it. Did you cast a curse on it?
I didn't cast any curses on it. It had no curses. It's not cursed in any way or any
kind of form. It's like, you will be a flawed system.
No.
I curse you.
Nothing like that.
Did you make some mods from Curse?
I did not make any mods, but there's some good things in there. I think there's no place for it to go but up, right? The PlayStation 3.
Or to the side.
The PlayStation 3 library of games is massive, okay? And I think that there, I hope, would be real focus put on trying to get as much of that library playable. Because it's one of the things when Sony announced the system, when they started talking about having backwards compatibility through the Gakkai system, was having a majority of the library available. So I'm hopeful that it's not bullshit and that they think that people have forgotten.
It's bullshit.
And that the majority of the library is available. Because I would love to be able to have all of Sly Cooper available to me to play on my PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Like, I would rent Sly Cooper all of the games.
I'm glad you will, because I would not.
You didn't enjoy Sly
Cooper? I didn't play them.
Oh, see, I think if you played Sly, you would have loved Sly. It's right up your alley.
Probably, but I never played
Imagine it. Sonic more mature, but with a British accent.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. The puns.
No. In my mind, Sonic will always be Jaleel White. It could never not be Jaleel White. And Tails is an idiot.
The puns.
And now they're remaking Sonic, and they're making them a team, and they're making Knuckles like a freaking tank. Knuckles a freaking tank.
Did you hear that Michael Bay wants to make a Thundercats movie? I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I'm about to throw up out of my asshole.
Sorry, I'm having some problems with poles. Wow.
That is the visual that no one will ever see.
No one wants. That's a visual.
I use that when I really don't feel well.
Wow.
Both sides.
Okay.
But yeah. Two sides.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm hoping beyond all hope
that Michael Bay
needs
to stop.
Because I am not dealing with Megan Fox's Chitara. I'm saying that right now.
I mean, I
no.
think she'd look okay in cheetah paint.
But it'd be like fucking Mystique. She'd just be painted. She wouldn't have on clothes. It would just be an excuse for Michael Bay
to pour
her.
But Chitara wore a unitard.
No shit.
So
Megan Fox doesn't. She's in Michael Bay's movie.
Well, actually, I heard a little bit ago, since we're on a tangent about Megan Fox, that she was in an interview a few months ago where she said, like, they asked her what an ideal role for her would be, like, if she could do anything.
Yes.
Guess what she said?
Helen Keller?
No. I wish, because she'd probably get an Oscar for never uttering a damn word. No. Sailor Moon.
Oh.
And she'd want to be...
No.
Serena.
No.
And she called her Serena in the interview, so we know she didn't watch the original sub.
No shit.
And she clearly never read the mangas.
Yep.
Or watched the OVAs.
Yep.
Or knows all the shit that happens to Usagi, because it's not all gumdrops and rainbows and pretty transformations. The bitch dies like 8 times.
Like 8 times, though.
Like, and it's always because she's like, I'm gonna use all my energies. Like, bitch, you're killing yourself. Can you, like, stop? Stop!
You're not Jesus.
Well, actually, in some of those OVAs, she rises from the dead like Jesus.
That's true.
You know, so, like, don't get me wrong, I understand the whole sacrificial meaning, blah, 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 whatever, but...
But, like,
She made coming back the coolest thing to do, because Usagi did it, and then Kakarot fucking did it.
Like,
every season. I come back.
Like, and they said that the damn Dragon Balls...
You could only bring somebody back once.
Right, and you couldn't wish for the same thing multiple times.
Well, like, we gotta bring Goku back. It's like, are you fucking serious?
But already wished to bring him back. So
And
this time we're gonna say we want Kakarot back.
So we found a loophole. The dragon doesn't get it. No, but I'm just saying, and there were so many people who died that, like, they didn't bring back Tien.
Okay.
Or Chiaotzu.
Yeah.
Like, hello?
Fuck Chiaotzu.
Krillin with his fucking solar flare? Come on. Give somebody else a break. Now, we know that they probably all never had really much of a shot, but apparently Goku didn't do much better if he had to be resurrected, like, 8 times. 8+ times.
Just saying. For all the might of the extra Saiyan, Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan
it's like,
Plus.
It's over 9,000 the times that I've died in Dragon Age GT. Not Dragon Age. In Dragon Ball GT. And then we've got Trunks coming from, like, the future to warn them about Vegeta and Bulma getting it on, but letting it happen anyway, because, you know, if it didn't, he wouldn't exist.
Well, he didn't come back
he was warning them about Frieza.
Yeah.
I know. He came back for something else.
And then Frieza dies like a punk.
I know. And then freaking Cell, who looked like a fucking mosquito on, like, steroids. Who, like, just sucks people's, like, life juice out of their tail or whatever.
I don't know. For all the people that complain about Bleach, since we're going to go off on this tangent.
Well, I mean, there was like four seasons that never left fucking Soul Society.
Wait.
It was like the anime's version of Lost.
Dude, that's what it is. It really was. They got lost in fucking the realm.
And the whole time they have this girl who could pretty much dismantle reality. Not that she really realized her power, freaking Orihime. Like, you could dispel anything, which is why Tenzin was so enamored with you. And I'm like, hello, if someone's that interested in my hair clip, I want to know why you're interested. Like, what can it do? Because clearly, you have your squinty evil eyes, because he had squinty evil eyes. I don't care what anybody says. Anime will tell you if people are good or bad by the way that they're drawn. So if their eyes are beady, they are evil, and they've probably touched children. It has happened. And they've probably kicked puppies. Too.
I enjoyed Bleach. Now, I did skip through, like, half of the Espada arc.
I don't blame you.
To get to, like, the good stuff.
Define good.
So, halfway through the Espada thing, and you start getting past the Stockholm Syndrome stuff that Orihime was having, and the bond that she made. Not that bond.
Yeah!
Not that bond. I'm so glad this is
slow motion scissoring.
Stop. No, but the bond that she made with her captor, and then you get a little bit of backstory on a couple of the Espada to find out that they actually really didn't want, like, the world.
We really didn't want to take over the world, we just wanted to make it better.
No.
And then we realized that our control was better than what was happening.
Not that, but... And then you have this big fucking battle where,
we
like...
We realized Taco Tuesday was the best idea we had. So we wanted to invoke Taco Tuesday forever. No one really liked the idea of tacos every day.
But then you have the real bomb-ass fight where, like, the real deep-down transformation of Ichigo comes out with, like, the demon horns and stuff. And it's just, like, badass.
I mean, the fact that he's, like, fucking half-hollow and half-fucking soul
reaver. No, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. He goes full-on fucking hollow.
Fuck, man.
And it is...
See? And you think Kingdom Hearts is confusion? Watch fucking Bleach.
Wait. No, Bleach is not as confusing as Kingdom Hearts.
It's like, so we've got this guy who could be a soul reaper who's been doing that.
Because his dad was a soul reaper.
Right. And they, like, made it so, like, he would never actually do it because they were like, he's way too powerful because he was obviously both the prodigy of, like, a soul reaper and a hollow, which is probably a big no. Why are enemies banging? That's what I want to know. Why are enemies banging?
Because they're tempting.
Bayonetta. They were Lumen Sages, witches. They be fucking, we got this thing that now we have to, like, keep under wraps because, you know, shit's gonna get
because
real.
They're tempted by the fruit of another.
Oh, man. I'm just saying.
It's the best conflict, right?
If Evil Dude A stopped fucking Good Girl B, we would not have half the series that we have now.
Ready? It's Shakespearean, dude. It's Capulets and Montagues, man. Oh,
man.
But that's what it is at its core. It's Romeo and Juliet.
It is.
It makes for the easiest line of conflict that everybody can understand.
Great.
I love you, but people tell us that we can't be together.
It's like, fuck people, fuck society, let's run away. Oh, shit, you're dead. I stabbed myself. Oh, wait, I'm not dead. Oh, my God, you're dead. We're dead. Or... Let's just mend our ways and live in peace, because that happens in reality.
Yeah, it never happens in anime. But
no, because someone dies of cancer before she could tell the guy that she likes him on Valentine's Day. Spoilers! But I'm not telling you what series I spoil for you bitches! Good luck! And now someone's gonna come back and tell me, and I'm like, damn it.
Oh. Okay, so anyway.
The episode's called White Day.
Stop it.
Not gonna tell you what series it is.
Coming off of... Huh? That tangent. CES happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not exactly the segue I was hoping to make.
No, because we could have made the segue maybe 10 minutes ago. When we were talking about consoles, because one of the things that I was really interested to see, Razer actually released its own version of, like a Steam Box.
Yes.
So, like, Razer has its, like, nifty remote and this little thing that looks like an Apple TV, which allows you to stream your Steam and your PC games, both PC and Mac, to your computer. So, I mean, or your TV. So, if you're like me, who has a Le Mac, and their boyfriend bought them a hotful boyfriend, but wanted you to play it on his giant TV, I did not have the appropriate cord to allow me to airplay it to his TV. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't. So then he had to buy it so I could play it off of his Razer. This could have been completely avoided if he had bought the Razer TV. Just saying. Also, I know that Mad Catz also released the links, and that is L.Y.N.X, like 9.0, which is a console controller which lets you morph it. So it's kind of like a Bop It, okay. But a bit. So you can, like, click it and move it and shift it, and it turns into, oh, I don't know, pretty close to, like, an Xbox controller. Or if you click it and flick it and bop it and squish it another way, it kind of looks like, oh, I don't know, a PS4 controller.
Okay.
It's like a puzzle. It's a puzzle game before you can actually game.
Wait, isn't that $300?
Yeah, it's expensive.
Because it's made out of, like, titanium or some shit?
Because it clicks and buzzes and throbs for a really good time.
Wait, and isn't...
And it makes Julian fries.
And isn't it...
It will circumcise your baby.
Isn't it just for
mobile... It will make you have a baby and then circumcise it.
Isn't it just for mobile gaming, too? That's a hell of a... Like, because I think I remember the photo.
It looked really kind of cool looking.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking Transformer, but I'm pretty sure that's just for mobile gaming. Who in their right mind is going to buy a $300 controller to hook up their iPhone to? Or their Android to?
Well, there are some girls who buy really expensive purses and only wear them for, like, a week. Like,
Panda, you're being classist.
Like, I know somebody who has a Vera Bradley bag that, like, cost her $200, and, like, she used it for, like, 8 days. And now she's going back to her Coach wristlet. It's not me. I have a Vera Bradley bag, and I use it because I just shove shit in it. But someone like
Why
that...
Why do you have a Vera Bradley bag?
I got it for Christmas.
Oh.
Got it for Christmas.
Yeah.
Gotta do my due diligence.
That was that Christmas that I got an $8 gift, right? From the same person?
No. This was this recent Christmas that I had the experience at.
That morning, after the experience,
I finally managed to open my presents after the experience and then realize what they all were.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So for me, for CES, a couple of big things that I was really interested in seeing. One.
My ass.
No. One.
How about that giant metal stick that the guy was advertising as, like, the best way to take con photos? It literally was, like, this giant metal stick that could hold your
the phone. Look, first of all, can we all disagree that selfie sticks are wrong?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still vote the iTouch to be the worst fucking thing to come out of CES ever. It's literally a lanyard with a suction cup in it. You can just whip around your phone. Whee! Because
until the suction gives.
Because the iTouch, no, it is patent pending, that sucking technology, that nothing is getting out of the... It's like a shark mouth for your neck. The fucking iTouch. I die.
I mean, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. No, there's a lot of gadgets and gizmos.
I want to get the iSuck, which is essentially the iTouch, but a bigger suction cup with more sucking power.
Patent pending,
2015.
There were a lot of really interesting gadgets and gizmos that were announced at CES. I think the big thing for me is how much home entertainment has really taken over CES.
Smartwatches were a big contender this year, too. Everyone had a smartwatch. Look,
wearables are always going to be big because we're so connected now, and we're so used to being connected.
I know, and it's dangerous, guys, our addiction to technology.
Okay, but we have, like, globally become very accustomed to being connected. So we want to be able to be connected, but now not as in as overt a way. When you think about how technology for the telephone has evolved from being a big fucking thing that was mounted in one space and only came in one color in your home, to first the old school mobile phones that were like 8 pounds, to now the thing that you have in your pocket that's not a phone, it's a computer that has telecommunications capability. That's what it is, because you can get on the internet, you can search, you can do video chat, you can get your email.
You can talk to it.
You can play games. You can also use it to make phone calls.
And make friends with
your phone. It's not just a phone. It's a camera. It's so much more. And we've become very used to being connected.
We're quite attached.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing unless you take it to a wrong place. And you could say that about anything. You could say that about games. You could say that about movies. You could say that about sex. Too much of anything is not a good thing. You can break it. You can bruise it.
Really?
Yes.
I actually heard it's kind of like a sponge. Like, you can, like,
You can break it.
You, like, pumice it?
You,
like a stone?
You can...
I'm so glad I don't have a penis.
So, anyway.
Yay, vagina! Yeah, I did that.
So, for me, it was really interesting to see how much gaming has actually come into CES. Because, for the most part, it's been about home appliances. There's a whole car section. A lot on computing as far as... components as well as whole systems. MSI usually has a really, really decent sized booth and are showing off their entire computer line, both laptops, tablets, and desktops. But there's always been like a small little bit of gaming at CES. You know, a few years ago when I went, it's where Namco did the launch of the Tekken game that had the Star Wars characters in it and had that part. There's always been a little bit of gaming, but I think because of just how popular and successful casual gaming has become, there's so much more in, you know, their I world, I call it. That's not what they call it. I think it's like the I Village or something. But that's where they have all of their mobile gaming stuff. You had some announcements come out, like... finding out that Star Fox, the new Star Fox game for Wii, is going to be playable at E3, came out at CES. You know,
because they're trying to find a way to keep people interested in Razer, CES so it doesn't die.
Razer brought their line of gaming peripherals, their new headset.
Sennheiser released, I know, like a sound canceling, like uniformed, really awesome cans. They looked really sleek and interesting.
Sennheiser always comes out with some really spectacular stuff. And then I saw
a video of a dude who drove a smart car with a smart watch.
Yeah. Wearables are really big because I think that's really like the next wave of technology. Like, people are now to the point where they're aware of how douchey they look with like a Bluetooth piece that's glowing in their ear. But they also want to be safe when they're driving and they're walking and
things like that. Then get Google Glass and look like a perv.
Google Glass is done and over with. It's not a thing. It's not a starter. Google's not surprised about it. Nobody else on the planet is. But I think for a lot of people, the idea of wearables makes complete sense. Like, for me, I'm very interested in wearables. I've had a Nike Fuel Band forever. I'd still be using it and wearing it now if my dog hadn't eaten it. But what I really have wanted out of a wearable for quite some time
is his ability to manage your mortgage.
No, I do okay with that by myself. I don't need a wearable to help me with that. But I have gotten to the point in my adult life...
That you want it to sound like Rosie from the Jetsons?
No. That I have my smartphone, and I love the features of my smartphone. I primarily use it for going on social, for getting and sending email, and occasionally calling. I text more than I call.
I don't call at all.
But...
You don't have to call because I'm not answering you.
For different things. I know you're like Usher. You don't have to call. It's okay, girl.
It's okay. I'm gonna be alright tonight.
Yep. But for me...
I love that song.
It is a good song. What I love about my device is how connected it allows me to be at a given moment. But I do have 8.5 to 9 hours in a day where I can't constantly be on my phone, but I need to be aware of things. You know, I have family members that have health issues. I need to be reachable, but I don't want to be that douchebag that's sitting in a meeting.
Oh, sorry, I have to take this call. Boop, boop. Hey. What's up?
Okay. I can't stand...
Get us some snacks.
I have been in meetings with people that walk into the room on a conversation on their Bluetooth that we all have to wait till they finish their conversation for us to have our meeting. I don't want to be that douche. I don't want to be the douche that lays their phone facing up and every time it pops on, looks over to check and see if that's an exposure.
Sorry.
Okay. I don't want to be that douche because that sends a signal that, okay, whatever's going on here...
This is only like 75%. No, this is like 43% worth my important time. If this beeps, this is like 82% worth my time.
You know, I don't want to be that douche either. But I still need to be connected if there's an emergency or for those kinds of things. And for me, that's what I want out of a wearable. I want a wearable that will allow me to see who's calling. So basically being an effective caller ID. So I can determine with a simple glance down at my wrist so it looks like I'm checking the time, which I think is a far less socially offensive thing than looking at your phone all the time. And so I can just, at a glance, see if I've got a meeting coming up without having to whip out my phone, without having to make it overt that I'm being douchey. And I like the idea of having something that can do things like track my activity. It's one of the things I loved about my Fuel Band is that it allowed me to gamify being more active. And I like that at a fingertips touch, you know. So a good wearable will do those things for me. And there's all different kinds of classes. Razer even has a wearable that's in beta right now that their Faithful is going to get to pre-order and test early. It's not going away. It's a market that's not going to go away because there are big niches that it fits. If you're doing any kind of regular workout activity, there are things that you want to track, like how many calories you're burning, how many steps you're taking, what your heart rates are averaging. There are even wearables like Jawbones Up that track your sleep and let you know if you have broken sleep patterns so that you can work on that.
Yeah, I have a sleep sport thing on my iPad mini that tracks my sleeping patterns, and I only get maybe 4 hours of like deep sleep any night. And if I sleep better than that, it will adjust, and it might set my alarm for a few minutes early because I've gotten my full 8 hours or something like that.
You know, I think that that's the upside to being connected all the time, is that there are so many health benefits and things now that before that you had to have constant trainers or go in for all kinds of testing to have information at your fingertips just for the health thing, let alone being connected for in a case of emergency. I mean, think of like back in the day when somebody went into labor. It was only the people around them that could get them someplace. There was no, hey, if you're out in the middle of shopping, you don't have a way to call somebody and say, hey, baby, the baby's on the way. You got to wait till the baby's delivered or hope that somebody at the hospital, when you got admitted, was like, ooh, let me call someone.
What's your emergency contact?
You know, so wearables, I think that's just going to be a market that's going to explode because there are so many different things, whether it's calorie counting and health stuff, whether it's just finding better ways to be connected and to your devices when you're near or farther away. I think, you know, the connected home is something amazing. You know, there are things out there now. Schlage has a system where you can put in locks to your home that you can then unlock your door, no key, with your smart device.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with your car.
And now there are thermostat systems that you can control via your
Nest.
Home. Yep. Or the Ecobee.
Yeah. You know, so there are all kinds of connected out there that aren't bad. I think that wearables is just going to continue on that road for that personal thing because, one, they are extremely personalized. It's like the ultimate customizable, personalized device. This is my world, my health, my body, my device.
Yes to all tech.
You know, and to be honest with you, I can't wait to see what comes next. I like seeing everybody building on top of everybody else's stuff and making more and more useful things. And there was a bunch, like I said, of gaming things that popped out as well. So there were a lot of peripherals. And I can't talk about them all because we're running short on time. But there were a couple that really surprised me that came from Nyko.
I like Nyko, too.
I have loved their fighting sticks of late. Their arcade console.
Well, with the new Mortal Kombat coming out, maybe that might be a ideal.
I just need to know if my arcade stick will work with my Xbox One, because if it does, I'm golden, and that'll make me happy.
And if it doesn't,
I'm gonna be pissed as shit.
Okay.
Pissed as shit.
The feels, bro.
Thanks. So, that said, the first one that I want to talk about is the data bank, and this is for PlayStation 4. And basically what the data bank does is it lets you extend the storage space on your PlayStation 4. So PlayStation 4 comes with 500 gigs of storage.
Which would be fine if you didn't have games that had, like, you know, really big
50
downloads.
Gigs that they take off the top before DLC.
Destiny.
I love how we did that in unison and we hadn't even talked about it. But with the data bank, you can basically put in just about damn near any 3.5-inch drive that spins at 7,200 RPM. So you could get Western Digital's 8-terabyte drive and put it in the data bank. And just pop that, slide the data bank literally right on top of your PlayStation. It mounts over the left side, so you know where the light bar is.
Yeah.
So that left side that's all shiny, that one spot, it slides literally right on top of that. It looks quite sexy. It fits in really well. They did a really nice job making the design sitting there. But it's great because basically you're only limited to it spinning at 7,200 RPM. And you can get drives real cheap. The last time I was looking, I saw a Seagate drive, which is a really good one, 3.5 inch drive, 4 terabyte for like, I want to say 180 or 200 bucks.
That's not bad.
So storage is ridiculous, especially if you can, you know, just literally put it into the data bank and slide it right in. Not sure if you have to do any additional formatting for the drive.
Maybe.
But still, being able to up your storage on your PlayStation now without having to necessarily go in and swap the drive out yourself and do formatting is really nice. So good on them for that. They also have a chat pad that they worked on that they're calling the Type Pad, which is like, remember the chat pad that you had for the Xbox 360?
I still have one.
Because it, you know, you couldn't just talk to your device to say what you wanted to say before. You can now use that chat pad. I don't know how useful this is really going to be for people, because in honesty, when I want to type to someone, so like somebody sends me a message on PlayStation, I actually have the PlayStation app on my smart device, so I use my smart device to respond, because
I don't
have a keyboard. It's really easy to type in. They have one for iOS.
I know, but I don't.
So I use it all the time to check and see, like, who's on before I turn on my PlayStation. I like to see what people are playing before I turn on my PlayStation. And I use it to send, to deal with all my friend requests, rather than pop out of my game to deal with it on my PlayStation.
Like, oh, someone sent me a notification.
Yeah, I check it on my
smart device. It doesn't bother me. I'm pretty chill.
I don't mind getting the notification. I hate when I have to bounce out of my application.
Oh, what are you doing? You were standing on the Earth Cosmodrome that one time. Calm down.
I'm not talking about you.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about when people are like, join my party before you join my fire team. Okay, because I want to talk to you before we do stuff, because I'm in the middle of doing something else. It's kind of rude.
Ew. Yes. That sounds gross.
It does. Be my friend. No, I don't want to be your friend, because that means I have to get out of my game to go to the menu, to go over to the request, to get the notification.
I don't have that problem.
And scroll down the list, and then find you in the list. And they'll be like, okay, now I want to add you. Okay, now I want to leave this menu. Okay, now I want to go back to my game. Okay, now I'm back in my game. Or I could just be like, hey, iPhone, wake up. PlayStation app. Friend request. Accept. Oh, yay! But I, you know, I don't know. There may be some people that want that. I don't. But the last one that I thought that was really interesting, and this is the one that I kind of like, I really hope it's not bullshit and it does what it needs to do. But they announced a console selector for HDMI. So it's a small box. I think it's, like, longer than an Apple TV, but it's not as thick. It has 3 HDMI inputs and 1 out. So you remember back in the day when we had the system selector, like the big one that I had?
I remember.
That was, like, all hard, clicky when you would swap over. So it's like that, but it's smaller, and specifically for HDMI for new consoles. So if you have a TV, let's say, is short on HDMI ports, rather than having to hop swap things all the time, especially if you use gold contact HDMI cables, which if you do, why? But you'd basically be able to run all of your systems, your Xbox, your PlayStation, and your Wii U, into the selector, run one of the connectors out of the selector to your TV, and then it comes with a remote so that you could remote select which one it should swap over to instead of having to go necessarily to the box to do it. But what's interesting is that they purport that it actually will support and push out to 4K TVs and that there's no loss in signal or send. Don't know if that's the case or not, really.
Bullshit?
But supposedly, it does. And if that's the case, then you know, you'd also be able to hook other things up to it, not necessarily just your consoles. It would work with anything that connected over HDMI. So that includes your gaming PC, that includes your Blu-ray player, you know. So if you're limited on ports on your TV, or if you're buying a new TV and your budget's low, so you want something with a great resolution, but maybe it doesn't have all the HDMI ports you need, this console selector might be an easy way to get where you want to go with that. And since it has a remote control, it looks like it's IR. If that's the case, you'd be able to program programmable controllers to use it as well. So that would be interesting. Like I said, lots of stuff coming out of CES. We'll have more things to talk about, I'm sure, next week as we delve through everyone's coverage because we didn't get to go to Vegas. You know, Monster rolled out some new headsets.
Oh, I'm surprised you weren't talking about that.
Everybody and their cousin was rolling out new stuff. CES is just a nerd's paradise if you're into gadgets and tech.
Live my life living in a nerd paradise.
And I'm really stoked to kind of go through what everybody brought to the table. I'm not real interested in 4K TVs right now because there's not a lot of things that are available in 4K that are pushing that kind of resolution.
But when there is, then come talk to me.
You know, come talk to me. I mean, you know, every demo that I've seen of a 4K TV and what 4K content could look like on a 4K TV looks breathtaking. But until there are movies being released at that resolution and there are TV shows that are broadcasting in that resolution, it don't mean shit to me.
It means dick to you. What kind of fuckery is this?
Exactly. So, on that note, if you want to know what kind of fuckery we're up to, then make sure that you hit up our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, and check out our news, reviews, preview pieces that we put up from the entire team. If you subscribe to the page, the moment we put out a new article, you'll be notified. So you can check it out, share it on your social, comment. We comment back. It's a thing. No big whoop. You can also get our podcast in a plethora of places, starting with our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. But you can also get our podcast in iTunes, either on your desktop using the iTunes application or on your mobile device by downloading and installing the podcast app and checking us out there. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio. You'll also find our podcast on the VOG Network, vognetwork.com. Make sure that you check out the other amazing shows that are on the network and participate. Because at VOG, it's not just about reading. It's about being part of the community and what's going on. So be active. Get up on it. And then for those of you who don't live La Vida I or do things upon the desktop, we're also in the Microsoft Store. So just search out the S-Cast and subscribe. Any way you do it, your ear holes will be thankful.
We thank you!
For the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, well, guess what? We've got more podcasts. On Tuesday, you can catch a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race.
However,
on Oasis this week.
Not this week.
Yes, I was going to say on hiatus.
Yep, on hiatus.
This week. But they'll be back next week.
KBD is all about celebrating his birthday.
B-Day. But they'll be back next week, so make sure that you check out No Borders, No Race. If you're into indie anything, trust me, you'll love that show. On Wednesdays, keeping your beats moving.
For your feet?
Well, yeah, for sure. Is Geek Aggro. If it's trap, if it's EDM, if it's grooving, then Deuces Wild is going to be spinning it on Geek Aggro. So make sure that you check that out. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live. Have a blast. Be part of the show on the YouTubes. It's amazeballs. Really and truly, you got to check it out. And then, like I said, we're going to keep you satiated. We're all over the Twitter, at ESH News, for the news that you can use all throughout the day, including some funny stuff.
Yeah.
Because we do that. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/landavesh. Make sure that you like us on Facebook and keep our notifications on so that when we put out new content, you can get it. Like when we have new podcast episodes or when there's stuff on the web that we think is really cool that we want to share because we do that. We're like that. Because just like you, we're nerds.
We're nerds!
So, this is the time of the podcast where I turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
The cookie that came out of the CES this week. That literally is the Keurig for cooked meals.
Wait, like the full meal?
Like, it cooks the full meal. It cooks
the full meal?
Yeah.
So, it's like the Jetson thing?
Yeah. It's super fucking cool.
Oh my god, we gotta talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Alright.
What about you, sis?
I'll be honest with you, I'm just digging cookies. Because they fill my soul and make me happy and smile.
Okay.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.
Deuces.